Salutations, everybody, and welcome to the very, very first episode of the Ring Rat podcast, where we bring you news and views on the world of professional wrestling, the world that we love so much, have grown up watching, and continue to watch and continue to display our passion for the sport, passion for the world of professional wrestling, and hopefully you'll be able to get engaged in our conversations and opinions as well. So thank you for joining us on this very, very first episode, in which we're going to be discussing the biggest event in the wrestling calendar. I am talking about, of course, WrestleMania. On the first episode of the podcast today, we have Rahul Thakur, a.k.a. Tux.
Hello, everyone. Looking forward to doing this podcast. Looking forward to getting your feedback. Let's do this.
And as a special guest today, we also have rap aficionado Swami Barakas.
What's going on, everyone, in the podcast world? The Barracuda's on the mic.
So as a quick recap of what happened on this week's episode of Raw, we had a few main events happening in the lead up to WrestleMania 30, the most important of which being Brock Lesnar F5-ing The Undertaker after The Undertaker has basically been kicking his butt left, right and center all the past few weeks leading up to this. John Cena, with a bad case of gimmick infringement, dressing up as one of the members of the Wyatt family and getting a few shots in on Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. We also had a Piper's Pit, which built up the Andre the Giant 30-man Battle Royal, which was basically setting up maybe Big Show as the winner. And, of course, the main event on Raw was Batista versus Randy Orton, which had a little run-in from Daniel Bryan at the end. But before we get onto that, Tux, what did you think of this week's Raw? Did you think it was decent leading up to WrestleMania?
I thought it was a decent little effort, but in all honesty, I think we've all seen better Raws, the last Raw, I should say, coming into WrestleMania in the past. It was a tricky one. I mean, they had the main bits. They had the Wyatt angle. They had the Battle Royal angle. They had the opening Undertaker-Lesnar angle and obviously the Bryan angle at the end. But it just didn't seem like it had that sort of feel to it. You know, the big Raw going into Mania, it's 50-50 for me. I'm not too sure. I wasn't that impressed, but they did what they had to do. They dotted the I's, crossed the T's. They pushed the main matches and the lesser ones as well. And I think it was a decent enough effort.
Yeah, I got to kind of agree with Tux there. I think they played it safe with this Raw, the one straight before WrestleMania. It wasn't a great deal of kind of heavy kind of build up towards the main events. It was generally play it safe, let's just go with the flow, kind of a Raw, Daniel Bryan coming in, so they're trying to push him more towards the main event status in WrestleMania. Plus the undercard, you know, small little bits here and there with Cena coming in during the Wyatt's match. Like I said, for me, it's not an amazing card at WrestleMania, which means that any kind of build up to this main event is going to have a lackluster approach to it, generally pushed by the way they're pushing all the current superstars in the Federation. So, you know, played it safe, played it cool, ran with it. But WrestleMania is what it's all about. So we're just looking forward to the main event now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Swami. Looking at it, I mean, it's WrestleMania 30. It's a big one. You've got to have bigger matches. I mean, to be honest with you, besides Taker Lesnar and the main event match, I'm not too impressed with most of the card. I would have loved to have seen Shield versus the Wyatts for the first time here and maybe mixed it up a bit more. But there you go. I guess this is just how it is and we've got to live with it.
Well, you mentioned the card there, and let's talk a little bit about the undercard and our predictions for what's going to happen. So just looking at the card as it stands now, the event is going to open with the Freeview show, which is the Usos versus the Real Americans, Los Matadores and Rybacksel. What do you think about that match, Tux, as an opener?
To be quite honest, I'm actually slightly disappointed. I was hoping the Usos and the Real Americans could get some main time in the main event, as in on the Mania card, not in the pre-show. I'm actually very disappointed for them because I think they deserved a spot on the main card. And you know, looking at it, it's a good match. For the pre-show, it will be fine, but really, it should have been on the main card. I mean, there's no excuse. I know they want to try and give, you know, some of the celebrities a spot, maybe whoever's at the show. They want to give Hall of Fame a little spot. They want to try and give the main matches, as in the seven matches on the card, a bit more time, which is fair enough. But I think these guys deserved a chance to really shine on the main stage. And I think this is taking a little bit away from them.
Maybe I'm just too much of an idealist here, and maybe I'm just a little bit old school. But For my mind, I think titles should always be defended on the main card. And for the tag team titles to be on the preview show, it just seems a little bit too disrespectful for me. So, Swami, why do you think they're choosing to have this match as an opener on the preview and not defend the tag team titles on the main card?
Well, I think it's just another sad reflection of WWE of today. The onus is completely on singles competition. The tag team division has taken a huge, huge downturn. There's just not the same teams. There's not the caliber of teams and the depth in the roster at the moment of quality tag team wrestling. Right now, the tag champions are obviously the Usos, who are obviously brothers. But, you know, where are all these other specialist tag team wrestlers? You know, they had to bring the New Age Outlaws back to give them a run with the strap, because it's a time, unfortunately, the era that we're in, where the tag team division is taking, it's quite lackluster, to be honest. There was a drive, I remember, from Triple H saying that he wanted to bring back the division and put more onus on trying to bring through some great tag teams. But so far in the last year, it just really hasn't happened. The best team at the moment, I'd probably say, is Real Americans. Not so much in terms of their combative skills, but more individual wrestlers. Cesaro's obviously head and shoulders above everyone else in that whole match. As far as I'm concerned, they've clearly shown that the real onus is on singles competition and the world title. Even the Intercontinental belt and the US title have taken a massive back burner compared to the main strap. So it's just where we are right now, unfortunately.
Well, as you mentioned, the Intercontinental title and the US title not being defended at this WrestleMania, of course, harks back to last year's WrestleMania, when it was the Intercontinental match between Wade Barrett and Miz, which opened up the pay-per-view as a preview. But one title which is going to be defended is the Divas title, which, of course, is held by the wonderful, wonderful AJ Lee. And it's pretty much going to be every single diva that is on the main roster in this match. Tux, how is this match even going to work?
In all honesty, I think it's just going to be a cluster fudge. I can see a lot of mistakes happening. I mean, there's, I don't know how many women there are. Might be 15 to 20 in the ring at once or something like that. And obviously, most of them are not the best workers. I know, obviously, AJ will be in there, Summer Rae will be in there, Natalya's going to be in there. So, you know, I mean, there are people in there who can wrestle and put on a good match. But it's always difficult when you've got a lot of bodies and a short space to work in. And again, the problem with the women's division is, the Divas division, is that they're not really renowned for having the best matches, unless it's AJ or, you know, Natalya wrestling. So I'm not expecting too much for this. I think it might be a bit of a toilet break match, as they tend to be. And I hate to say that, because I think the women's division should be much better than what it is. And looking at some of the women on the roster, and even on the NXT roster, I think this division could really give the WWE a nice alternative, like the Cruiserweight division once did in WCW. I think the women's division could do that for the WWE. But at the moment, I'm not really expecting too much out of this match.
Well, we could probably go on and on and on all day and night about how great the diva wrestlers in NXT are compared to the wrestlers on the main roster. Of course, Summer Rae and Emma have already made their way up to the main roster. We hope to see Paige there at some point soon. We are huge, huge fans of Paige. So I hope that come WrestleMania next year, we'll be maybe seeing a Paige versus AJ Lee Divas title match. I think that would be absolutely epic. But AJ, for my money, Swami, is the only real diva in this division who actually deserves that title. Can you see anybody taking it away from her?
Well, unless the Jumping Bomb Angels made an epic comeback, I can't see really too many people taking the strap away from AJ. Though, you know, the thing is, the whole term diva, I wouldn't even classify AJ in that. She's an out-and-out wrestler. Obviously, she had that kind of crazy psycho gimmick going on, but she's actually a good Mac technician in the ring. If someone was to take the strap away from her, you know, Naomi's being pushed heavily at the moment, really good work in the ring. But, you know, they've been kind of teasing this whole Tamina Snuka, you know, potential turn on AJ for the last few weeks now on Raw. So, you know, if anyone was to take it off her, if they're going for someone with a bit more power, Tamina maybe in the frame. Otherwise, the rest of the roster are just all glamorous, you know, potential strippers. So, you know, whether any of them can have a long enough run with the strap without having to, you know, put each other over in the wrong way in Raw each and every week, I can't really see it happening, to be honest.
And I think if anybody doesn't agree with Swami's views on the Diva division, just go watch Eva Marie, because she is painful to watch. Tux, what do you think about Naomi? Everybody's kind of bigging her up at the moment. She's a great athlete. Swami just said she's a good worker, but do you think she's a good worker?
In all honesty, from what I've seen of her, she does look like she's got the chops. I mean, like you say, she's a good athlete. You know, she's works a good match to a respectable extent. I think she might be a little bit rough around the edges, but, you know, she's miles ahead of Cameron and Eva Marie. And, you know, I think I have to say that I agree with what Swami said. I think if anyone's going to win it, it's got to be Tamina, simply because there's a storyline brewing there. Naomi could win it, and I wouldn't really have a big problem with it, but I think if anyone has to, it's got to be Tamina, because it's about time the Divas division, the women's division, whatever you want to call it, gets some consistency instead of in terms of storyline. I hate watching, you know, these random sort of matches come up, you know, oh, next month at the pay-per-view we're going to have AJ against Cameron, next month after that we're going to have AJ against, you know, one of the Bella twins. Let's have a story, let's build something cohesive. And I think the Tamina storyline is slowly brewing, and the slow build is always what works in wrestling. And if anyone's going to win it, you know, I want to see AJ win it, because I think she should have a longer reign, because no one really should take a spot right now. But if anyone will, it's got to be Tamina, not Naomi. But again, to answer your question, yeah, Naomi, if it's not AJ or Tamina, Naomi is a good worker, and she'd probably deserve the spot ahead of even maybe Natalya.
And the other thing with Tamina Snuka potentially winning it is it gives a different dimension to a Divas champ, because, you know, where are the Bull Nakanas of today? You know, where are the Awesome Kongs of today? Where's the Bertha Faye of today? Obviously, like, the division's kind of moved on, so it's more about the glamour and the looks. But, you know, there were some big, hefty hench wrestlers back in the day that were the great workers in the ring, and it gives it something different completely to what we've got at the moment. And Tamina is that only dimension, you know, since kind of the Glamazon left the WWE, she's taken over that real power mantle in the women's division. So, you know, as a step away from the petite, slender, small kind of, you know, the stereotypical look that the Divas have at the moment, it will just give it something different. And I think that's what it needs, an interjection of, you know, something original.
And a special shout out to the greatest power women's wrestler of all time, Klondike Kate. We salute you, ma'am.
No, she wants shooting. She definitely wants shooting.
Next up on the undercard is the match of The Shield versus Kane and the Outlaws. The Shield were on a huge crest of success in last year's WrestleMania, but I'm not really sure if this match can be considered as a real advancement for them. And Swami, you're not a huge fan of The Shield's face turn. I just want to know what you think about their recent run and what you think about their face turn in this match.
Yeah, I think it feels like it's a little bit of a cop-out right now from WWE Creative. You know, they've been pushing the whole friction aspect of The Shield for a number of weeks now, since before the Royal Rumble. And so there was the potential of Roman Reigns maybe breaking out and becoming a single star and kind of leaving the other two behind. They should have kept them all together for even a little while longer. I think they've only given The Shield potentially a couple of years as a stretch as what should have been the top heels in the business. And they've been getting over every single week, you know, as a team in singles competition. And I just felt that it maybe not necessarily been the right time to give them a face turn, but it just seemed like they were getting so much unbelievable hype in the crowd week in, week out, you know, high spots and Roman Reigns with his power moves. It just felt like they'd taken the easy option by making them faces, where they could have probably worked better as tweeners, which, to be honest, they may just even go with that for a little while, you know, because the Wyatts against The Shield was probably for me the best match of the year, and there was potentially something there that they could have used, but I'm not a huge fan of the face turn, no.
After last year's WrestleMania, I made the glorious prediction that by this time, Dean Ambrose would be in the main event of WrestleMania 30 and win the World Heavyweight title, meaning that The Shield would then have every single title in the WWE. Consequently, that didn't happen. But Tux, Roman Reigns is getting a little bit of a push now, but some people are saying that there may be a little bit of a double cross in this match, and he may turn on his Shield partners. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, to be honest with you, that wouldn't be a bad angle. I mean, getting Roman Reigns to go heel, maybe join the corporation, as I've been told that that's what's in the pipeline, maybe. You know, I think it would be a good push for him. I mean, I know a lot of people are getting behind him and, you know, want to see him do well. So that would be interesting. I mean, I guess it would be better than what might actually happen, which I think is it's just going to be a Shield win. And don't get me wrong, I hope they win. But I think it might just be a flat night for the Shield. They beat them And I think that's it. I mean, I was hoping they would do maybe a bit of double duty, you know, doing this match, the six-man tag, and then going into the Andre the Giant Battle Royal later on. But obviously the names aren't down at the moment in terms of the Shield boys being down there, so that might not happen. But I was hoping that maybe we might get some Shield action at the end of the Battle Royal in terms of maybe it's Reigns and Rollins left, or maybe all three of them left, and there, you know, we might see a heel turn, maybe Ambrose and Rollins turn on Reigns, or vice versa, as in Reigns turns on Rollins and Ambrose. But to be perfectly honest, I just think that we're going to see a straightforward Shield win, and they're going to crack on from here and just do whatever's next. Just to sort of double up on what Swami was saying, I can understand where he's coming from. I don't mind as much that they've turned face. I think it's a good way for them to keep going for maybe 6 months longer or maybe a year longer. Obviously, it helps them hone their skills a bit more. And it'll be nice to see something different from the Shield before they break up eventually. And I just think also it'll be good for Rollins to get a bit more time in the spotlight. I mean, if you're looking at the last few Raws, he's been getting his opportunity to really shine. I mean, we know he's got a great history in Ring of Honor, so it'll be good to see him get more of the spotlight, because Reigns has got a lot of it. Ambrose is excellent on the mic, and that's where he shines. So Rollins has been left behind a little, and I think at the moment, with this face turn, it just gives him more of a chance to really put himself out there a bit more and hopefully get over more.
Yes, hear, hear to that. I could not agree anymore. I think Seth Rollins definitely needs to be given a bigger piece of the limelight, because I think he probably is the best member of the Shield. Next up, Swami, we've got your personal favorite match of the night, according to yourself, the 30-man Battle Royal. Can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that and who you think is going to win that match?
Yeah, I've never hidden behind the fact that I'm an old school kind of guy. And these big battle royals are something that I always look forward to with these pay-per-views. Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view of the year. And it harps back to the actual battle royal from WrestleMania 2, which Andre the Giant won himself. You know, that had all the NFL stars together with all the wrestlers. God knows how they actually made that out logistically to get everyone in the ring without someone getting severely injured. But, you know, it's just, for, you know what it is? It's for the guys in the undercard, people that really haven't had a chance to step up to the WrestleMania main event card, or any matches in the card itself. You know, last year they had a couple of matches that got bumped off the main WrestleMania card. So this gives an opportunity to so many guys that don't have a WrestleMania moment. People like Zack Ryder, you know, even people like Dolph Ziggler, who this time last year was coveted to be the main event star and now is, you know, part of a 30-man Battle Royal. And it's, you know, it gives a good opportunity for a lot of these younger guys, the guys who don't have their moment, to get a chance to shine. As far as a winner, this is the one thing that's flummoxed me, because there's not one single guy that they've gone out of their way to put over more than anyone else over the last few weeks. It really is really open. But this last episode of Raw kind of did push towards the Big Show. So if they're going to go for an utterly predictable option like they did with the Royal Rumble with Batista winning, they might just go with Show, you know, trying to push the whole fact that he used to be Andre's son, obviously, from his days in WCW. Must have divorced him since. So I'm looking towards a Big Show, but in actual fact, I'm just looking forward to a really good match overall.
It's an interesting point that Swami makes, no doubt. To be honest with you, I'm on the other side of the fence with this one. I think this is just an easier way to get as many people on the Mania card as possible. And because it's a Battle Royal, I mean, I appreciate what Swami's saying. It's a nice little throwback to WrestleMania 2, to Andre the Giant. It's a little nod in his direction, and that's a beautiful gesture. But right now in wrestling, we need the youngsters to get the push. We want them in the big matches. I mean, last year, I mean, I was saying it to Ashish yourself, I was saying it to you, I would have loved to have seen Triple H against Ziggler at this Mania. Ziggler going over, getting that push, getting the rub he deserves. He's had a rough deal as of the last year. So even longer than that. So, I mean, you look at the guys in the Battle Royal itself. Ziggler, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Zack Ryder, they could have easily been given single spots, or maybe six-man spots, or whatever you want to do. But I think there should have been a story to it. I think it's just too simple to put a bunch of guys in a Battle Royal without much of a story in it. And I agree with Swami in what he's saying. I think it probably will be the Big Show, because it will be a little nod, a little throwback to the big man of wrestling. You know, Andre the Giant, and here we got the Big Show. So, and that really, that doesn't do anything for me. I mean, it leads to nothing. Big Show's been in the game for, what, 18 to 20 years? 18 years, I think it's been. He's done it all. He doesn't need to have that little rub by winning it. I would have loved to have seen even Roman Reigns win it, you know, because obviously they're going to go with him. If Cesaro was in it, that would have been brilliant, because he deserves a good push. Anyone else, if Ziggler wins it, I'd be really happy, because to me, it would be like, okay, now we've got Ziggler in a decent little spot. We've given him the trophy and we're going to give him a push.
Well, the other flip side of that is they could potentially go for someone completely left field, you know, for the big occasion, like bringing back someone like Repo Man or Nails or, you know, Harper back the Goon. I think that way what it'll do is it'll give them a chance to showcase some of the true greats that WWE have offered in the past and give them their WrestleMania moment, something that I think everyone deserves.
And I don't think anyone deserves to win this battle royale more than my pick, Klondike Kate. We salute you, ma'am.
Because she's dirty, definitely dirty. She's not fit to be called a wrestler. Yes.
Welcome back, and now we're going to be talking a little bit about the main matches happening at WrestleMania 30 on the main card. And let's start with John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. Now, shockingly enough, this is the first time in 10 years since WrestleMania 20 that John Cena hasn't been in a main event or for a World or WWE title match. That is incredible, really, when you think about it, that it's been 10 years since he hasn't been in that kind of importance at WrestleMania. But he is against one of my personal favorites, Bray Wyatt. I'm a huge, huge fan of Bray Wyatt. And Tux, how is it going to be possible that John Cena can win this match and it can have any positive outcome?
Well, in all honesty, I don't think it can have a positive outcome if Cena wins. Wyatt has to go over. He has to. I mean, he's been getting such a good build as of late in the last few months. And you look at his performance at the Rumble. A lot of people were saying, can he hang with the big boys? Can he put in a performance in the ring at the Rumble with Bryan? I know, obviously, with Bryan, most people can have a good match. But he did his fair share of hard work and he put up a good match. He followed that up at the Elimination Chamber with a good six-man match, actually an excellent six-man match. So he's on a roll. He has to go into Mania. He has to go over. And one of the good things about this feud is that it can go on after that. If the WWE feel like they want to push Wyatt more, keep him going with Cena. You know, Cena can get one back and then maybe at the end of it, Wyatt can finish it off and get a win. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the youngsters now. They have to be getting the push. Wyatt has to go over. If Cena goes over at Mania, it would just be a case of what was the point? You know, you push Wyatt all the way from Rumble till now. You know, you give him a good spot. You know, he's getting airtime, which is brilliant. And then Cena wins. It'd be pointless.
Yeah, 100% agree with Tux. I'm really interested in this match because it'll give me an indication of exactly where WWE are going, in which direction they're heading in terms of the future of the company. You know, Cena's been obviously the poster boy for a number of years now. But with Bray Wyatt, it's given the WWE a completely different dimension. He's not your stereotypical built Adonis like everyone else looks. You know, between people like Randy Orton and Cena and so many others, they've got such a rigid, normal frame, and it's given them something different. Like I was saying about the women's division, it needs some power people and some bigger girls and some, you know, and I think the WWE needs the same. Big Show is the only real big wrestler that, but the days of people like your Earthquakes and your Tugboats and one-man gangs, there is no one like that anymore in the Federation. And Bray Wyatt is probably one of the few that's outside of the spectrum, and it gives a different dimension to the company. And like I said, he's been on a really good roll at the moment. They've given him a great match at the Rumble and put him over against someone who was incredibly hot and still is at the time and, you know, to today. Great match at Elimination Chamber. And you know what? The thing is, they've let Cena put over a couple of guys like that before. I remember that edition of Raw where he put over Tensai, which was like, you know, we look back at the time and think how ridiculous that was. But, you know, it did really well to get Tensai over and actually put him out as a real force at the time, however short-lived it was. So then Cena's not afraid to put over someone for the sake of the company. But I just feel that I think with this match in particular, it has to go with Bray Wyatt. He's on such a roll. And to curtail where he's going right now just for the sake of selling a few more T-shirts and a few more Fruity Pebbles is not really the way they should go.
As you may have guessed, we're not John Cena fans on this podcast. So that's three Bray Wyatts from us. Cena exits that way, son. And I'm going to make my prediction right now for next year's WrestleMania that I think Bray Wyatt is going to be in the main event. Big words, but I'm sticking to it.
I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to blow our own horn, but toot, toot. toot.
Next now on the card, we have Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. Now, this is a match I'm looking forward to a hell of a lot. Tux, we all know that the streak isn't going to get broken, but what do you think is actually going to go down in the match itself? Do you think we're going to get a five-star match?
I think there's no reason that we're not going to see a five-star match come Sunday night. Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar. He's a great wrestler. He knows what he's doing in the ring. He's had great matches since he's come back. Undertaker does it every year. I mean, obviously, you know, there are some people who have mixed views about the Michaels matches at Mania and the Triple H matches at Mania, like myself, but they will go down as some of the top matches ever at WrestleMania. Probably the best matches at Mania, especially the Shawn Michaels ones. So there's nothing to suggest that Taker and Lesnar won't put up a top quality match. And I think everyone's expecting it to be the match of the night. Obviously, Bryan and Triple H will give them a good fight for that spot. But let's be honest, I think the WWE, Vince, everyone who's planning the match is going to sit there and give them the reins to just go nuts. Do everything you want. Start slowly, have a slow build. They'll probably give them 25, maybe even 30 minutes. And then eventually, you know, sort of build to the crescendo and just go all out. You know, the big moves, the near falls, maybe a little bit of a brawl around the ring, mix it up. The submissions. We know that Taker's Hell's Gate. We know Lesnar, obviously, being a former UFC champ. You know, there's a lot going on in this match that can happen. And I hope we see that match. And I think it would be a bit of an anticlimax if we don't get anything short of a five-star match.
But to be fair, the last episode of Raw, he looked in great shape. He tanned ridiculously. I think Death Valley's going through an extremely hot winter in the last few months. But, you know, he's looking in good shape. It's just a question of how long he can last in it before he potentially blows up. The thing that I'm realizing the last match he had with Punk, Punk pretty much controlled a lot of the match and saw it through. You could see Undertaker not being at his complete best, but still had enough to go toe-to-toe with the man himself. And the year before that, Triple H, there was occasions where he was, again, slightly out of breath and blowing up. So it really does depend on how well he's trained to get into match fit and peak fitness for this match. Because you could really see them having a really good match. They've had a few squabbles. I remember that time at UFC when Taker was there and they had a little, fisticuffs and a bit of a tete-a-tete. I'm sure there's a little bit of bad blood, but the WWE would be crazy to end this streak in any way, shape, form or possible for however long the Undertaker decides to carry on in the business. It's the one thing that's sacred. It's the one thing a lot of people tune in for. And without it, WWE is just, a lost cause.
Just to add on what Swami was saying there, the heat between Taker and Lesnar, going back to 2002, maybe 2003, but I remember when Lesnar won the championship, I think it was against The Rock in 2002. The next pay-per-view after SummerSlam where he won it was Unforgiven, and then No Mercy, I think it was, after that. And I remember reading in magazines and online that Taker didn't want to put Lesnar over. So at the first pay-per-view, there was a scuffle and it was a double disqualification before eventually at the next one, I think it's at No Mercy, Taker did let Lesnar go over. So I don't know if there's still some bad blood going on from that as well. I mean, obviously it led to maybe the UFC incident and going in here. That is one thing that might get in the way of this being a top match. Maybe a bit of an ego problem on both parts. You know, who looks stronger, who looks weaker? Maybe that might come into play.
Well, let's hope that the streak does continue. I don't think it's ever going to end anyway. But we heard all of these rumors for ages that it was going to be Sting versus The Undertaker at this WrestleMania. Obviously, that didn't work out. But that does beg the question that once this Brock versus Undertaker match is over, is there anyone potentially who could face Undertaker at WrestleMania 31? Or is this going to be his last match?
Well, I think it boils down to exactly what The Undertaker really wants. It's completely up to him. He's got he's the roster general in that way. He has been for the last 20 years or so. So however long he wants to continue and however long he thinks his body can take a toll through a 20-minute, half-an-hour match, in essence, once a year, is completely up to him. I think as long as he stays within match fitness, he's, 47, 48 now, which has been retirement age for a lot of previous wrestlers. So he's probably got it in the back of his mind and exactly who, if he indeed wanted to continue, he could potentially face in next year's WrestleMania. Hazard a guess, Cena potentially, or even Daniel Bryan. He'd have to have someone on a high A-list level for him to compete with. So it really just depends on his motivation more than anything. Does he really want to put himself through another match? or just go out on top. As much as I love Brock Lesnar, is that the last person he ever wants to face at WrestleMania? I'm not too sure. But, you know, with Undertaker, anything's possible. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. On the other side of it, I think it would be nice to see maybe a younger guy who gets a decent build from now till next Mania, you know, getting himself in that spot. I mean, potentially, I mean, Bray Wyatt would be fantastic. I mean, just that sort of macabre feel between Taker and him, that would be brilliant to see on the big stage. You know, maybe Roman Reigns, you know, obviously WWE love Reigns, and I'm sure he'll get a massive push between now and next Mania, so maybe he might have a chance. But on the other side of it, I mean, another option, which Ashish referred to earlier at the start, Sting. I mean, obviously, that's a match that I think WWE have wanted since 2002 when the whole WCW buyout went through. That was in 2001, obviously. But maybe it would be a decent sort of match to view in the sense that the two big names in wrestling from WCW, WWE. But in terms of quality, you've mentioned the injury, so maybe that might take a toll on The Undertaker. But not just that, but Sting in TNA, he's not been anywhere near as consistent as he was in the past.
Well, if there is one solid name, I think, that we can all agree upon who can take on The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31, and indeed, possibly, in my opinion anyway, break the streak, it is, of course, Klondike Kate. We salute you, ma'am.
How she's the nerve to walk in the ring looking like that, I don't know, in front of all these people.
And now for the main event at WrestleMania, well, the two main events, I should say, rather. Starting with Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. Now, this match may possibly come a little bit earlier in the card to maybe give the winner a little bit of rest time before they go into the final main event. Tux, what do we think about this match? Do we think that Daniel Bryan's just going to go over that easily?
No way. To be honest with you, I would not be surprised come Sunday night we see Triple H going over and getting himself into the main event. Now, I know some people sit there and go, no, there's no chance of that. But in all honesty, we've looked at WWE in the past. We've seen the decisions they've made and how they pulled Bryan back. So I would not be surprised at all if they did that. However, I'm putting a lot of hope and faith in them and maybe a bit of common sense as well. And thinking that, yeah, Bryan will go over and obviously he'll be in the main event and he should win the title. But in all honesty, I think whatever happens, it's got to be done right. I think Bryan has to go over pretty well over Triple H. Not, you know, some sort of screw job finish or anything like that. He has to go over well. So he looks the part and he looks like the main event player. If Triple H wins, I don't know what I'd say, what I'd do. I'd probably switch off the TV. I'd probably go home. But I don't think it's going to just be a straightforward Bryan win. You know, in the sense that there is a chance that Triple H will go over, because a WWE swerve turn at Mania, once people have paid for the tickets and are watching the show, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
I'd hate to think Triple H is that much of an egomaniac for him to put himself over and then get himself into the world heavyweight fight. But knowing my distaste of Triple H for a number of years, I really wouldn't be surprised. Though, I just cannot see any way bringing Daniel Bryan out of the main event, bringing him into the main event picture because of the massive amounts of support he's been getting for the last year or so. There's no way he's not going to get through to the main event fight. Triple H will be in there to give himself a good game, to pretty much give himself a payday on top of the CEO or COO level salary he's probably getting at the moment. So I think, just think it's a chance for Daniel Bryan to kind of get a little bit of match practice, I guess, before the main one, because he's going through to the final fight. And I think, well, get that prediction out of the way right now, he's going to win the strap. So it'll be the one thing the WWE have got right in the past year with their pay-per-views. Each and every one has been pretty much a letdown after the other. The Rumble being pretty much the biggest letdown of the lot. And it's a real eye-opener, I think, for WWE creative. People were close to rioting at the end when Batista won it. Rey Mysterio got booed throughout his entire duration in it, which is completely unheard of. But it just shows fan power and how much they wanted Daniel Bryan to be a part of that match. So if they give him the strap, it will be redemption, and it will be much, much deserved for a very, very good champ.
You know, the worst thing about this is that once this is all said and done and Bryan does win the belt, WWE are going to sit there and take credit for it. They're going to say, we've played the fans and we've worked this match, you know, since SummerSlam, and that's why he dropped the belt on that night after winning it. Whereas I think pretty much all of us can safely say that the truth of it is they didn't want Bryan to be in the top spot. They didn't want him as champ. They wanted Batista as champ, and that backfired massively. And, you know, the fans, thankfully for the fans, you know, they've pushed Bryan into this position to get it. And I really would hate to see WWE turn around a week after Mania and sit there and say, well, no, this was the plan since last summer. Because in all honesty, who are they kidding? That wasn't the plan at all.
Absolutely. I think the plan all along was to have Batista winning the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 30. And I seriously cannot understand the thinking of WWE Creative on this. I'm probably not the only person. But how they possibly thought that everybody would love Batista coming back is just something that just boggles my mind. I mean, Daniel Bryan is clearly the fans' favorite. And, you know, Batista coming back, it is a little bit like when The Rock came back to face John Cena. But, you know, I really do hope that they make the right decision and give the titles to Daniel Bryan. And I think if that happens, then we can all look forward to seeing the thousands and thousands of people traveling down there, chanting yes together and creating a real WrestleMania moment. But this is one thing that Steve Austin said on his podcast, that he believes that CM Punk is going to return at this WrestleMania. Now, do you think that's actually going to happen, or do you think Punk is gone for good? Because I think what could work out really great is if Triple H gets himself involved in the final fight again, and then we see CM Punk with a run-in or something like that. But do you think Punk is coming back, or do you think he's gone for good?
You know, I'd love to see Punk come back anytime, be it Mania, be it Raw, wherever. But in all honesty, I really expected him to come back at Elimination Chamber. It didn't happen. I thought he'd come back at the Raw in Chicago. It didn't happen. Maybe I was hoping against hope more than anything else. But it really seems like Punk will probably not be making his comeback at Mania. It would be amazing if he does, in the way that you put it, Ashish. But I've almost given up on that, I think. I don't think we'll see him come back. If he does, it would be amazing. And it would be a nice little ploy by the WWE to bring him back at such a time. But as it stands, my point of view is I don't see him coming back.
The thing with Punk is, you know, it's almost like a never say never. I just think this time he's burnt a little bit too many bridges on the way. He's had enough pipe bombs throughout his tenure there, and fan power has made him. But for me, he's an amazing worker, and he's probably, as well as Brian, probably the two top guys in the business. But there's only so much that you can take a slap behind the creative back before they eventually make or break you. And I think in this occasion, he's probably bitten off more than he could chew. It'll take a while, I think, before he's brought back into the fold. And it will happen, because there's only so much amount of time before the fans' power, the silent majority, finally begins to take notice. So it may not be for WrestleMania, but potentially for SummerSlam forward going, remains to be seen. But is a distinct void at the moment in the WWE roster, and his presence is definitely missed.
That is so true. His presence is definitely missed. And personally, I mean, I think we were in discussion about it. It would have been brilliant to see Bryan and Punk in the main event, as in just those two. It would have been a killer match, and just to see them maybe even unify the titles at this match, at WrestleMania 30, at the main stage, you know, it would have been an epic sight. Okay, Punk's not there now, but at least Daniel Bryan's in there. And in all honesty, to see him win the strap at WrestleMania 30, I mean, that's what everyone wants to see. And I think, you know, that's what we will see. Obviously, I've spoken about the little swerves that WWE might pull, but let's be honest, that's just bad for business. We don't want to see that. I don't think it's going to happen. Bryan's going to win it, and it's going to be fantastic to watch.
Absolutely, and it can only be a real WrestleMania moment seeing Daniel Bryan lift the titles. But one thing that we've almost completely forgotten about is Randy Orton, who is the World Heavyweight Champion, and Batista, who's also in the main event, who won the Royal Rumble, that people tend to forget now because he's just so hated. Swami, do you have anything to say about these two guys, or are they just kind of cannon fodder so our boy Daniel Bryan can lift the titles?
Well, I think the one thing the Royal Rumble really proved was how out of shape Batista's looking at now. You know, externally, great, you know, in prime condition. Internally, it's Klondike Cape. As far as I'm concerned, he blows up within 5 minutes of being in the ring, and he was pretty much on the floor for most of the Rumble, apart from when he tossed Roman Reigns out off the top rope. A nightmare scenario would have been Randy Orton versus Batista, looking back at it now as the main event, because you saw what the match was like just now on this week's episode of Raw. I don't think Batista is a main level player anymore. He's not great on the mic. He contributes very, very little in terms of ring ability, especially with someone who's a great technician like Randy Orton. Flip side of Randy Orton is he is not a great talker on the mic, but in the ring, there's not that many better right now in the entire roster. A match between himself and Bryan would have been a great way to close the event, but I'm hoping that in some way, on the way to the ring, Batista has a crippled ACL and the whole match ends up being Orton versus Bryan in the middle of the ring. I think that's the only way we can justify it with being a great match, one for the people as well as for the purists as well.
We'd like to take this moment to apologise to Klondike Kate and all Klondike Kate fans for Swami Barakas's comparison of Klondike Kate's cardiovascular skills to Dave Bautista's. We in no way wish to insult Klondike Kate and suggest that Dave Bautista has better cardiovascular wrestling skills than she does. Klondike Kate, we salute you.
She's got no shame at all.
No, she hasn't, no.
No.
None at all.
She's just rubbish. A dirty, big, fat lump of lard.
And with that concludes this very, very first episode of the Ring Rats podcast. And we'll be back soon with the next episode, in which we hope to talk about other things like the Hall of Fame and, of course, talking about the actual event of WrestleMania this Sunday, where we'll be bringing you all of our news and reviews and thoughts about the big event, WrestleMania 30. So be sure to join us on the next podcast. Peace. 1, 2, 3.